Topic 5.19. Describe that data can be extrapolated to make predictions, that these are used in models of future global warming, and that these models have limitations. Well, this is one of those where effectively the specification tells you all you need to do. You need to know that these data that we looked at in the previous section can be fed into climate models. And you've looked at a few climate models, which are just the simplified representation of the real system here. And we can use a model to predict and understand the climate. In the case of climate prediction, we have a set of equations that are representing how initially just the atmosphere and oceans are behaving, but we can add in things like temperature patterns, how they develop, how winds blow, how the continents affect the direction in which the wind blow, and then we can start looking at some of the biotic factors. So in a simple model, we've got the Earth and the atmosphere absorbing energy from the sun and losing energy to space. If the energy is absorbed and lost at the same rate, then the planet's at constant temperature, so we can say it's steady state. Now, if radiation from the Earth is lower than the radiation received from the sun, then the temperature will increase. Okay? But the rate at which the Earth radiates depends on the Earth's temperature. So the hotter the Earth is, the faster it radiates. So it will approach a steady state unless we're looking at other situations and other factors. Of course, pretty much everything has some effect on the temperature in some way. Okay. What these models don't include is any reference to biotic factors. So they're not considering the fact that we've got a whole load of organisms that are doing their very best to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And we're not considering the fact we've got a load of organisms doing their very best to put as much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere as possible. We're not considering things like methane and water vapour in the same way. And it's important to note there's an awful lot of merit in using these models because they're the best we've got. The more factors you put in, the more degrees of freedom you have. So statistically, if you have a lot of degrees of freedom, then it's more likely that you'll be able to look at your data and find some statistical support. That's just the way that degrees of freedom work. If you've got fewer degrees of freedom, you've got much tighter constraints, then of course you need to consider living things, how living things behave. Remember that living things don't always behave in a brilliantly predictable manner. And consider then that, yes, there's merit, there are an awful lot of limitations. However, scientific consensus is simply on refining these limitations and refining your inputs and trying to get your model as sophisticated as possible. And most of the problems with that now are down to actual computing power. There are so many things that scientists want to consider, but it's very difficult to consider absolutely everything because the length of time it would take and the process of power it would take would mean we wouldn't get results until whatever it was we were trying to predict was happening anyway. Okay?